Hi, my name is Juice Walsh, and you are very welcome to UCC 98.3 FM. Today, I am joined here by Professor Mark Tangney. Having worked for a number of years at various international institutions in locations such as Los Angeles, Boston, and Copenhagen, and having published extensively in the fields of bacterial engineering, microbiome, and cancer research, Professor Tangney's primary research interest is the development of novel technologies, therapeutic and diagnostic, for use in cancer medicine through Tangney Lab. His other interests include associations between bacteria and cancer, development of microbes as therapeutics, in silico protein design, and microbiome. Today I will be asking Professor Tangney about his work here at UCC, at Cancer Research UCC, and APC Microbiome Ireland. Hi Professor Tangney, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks, and I'm delighted to be here, and thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, which I couldn't have written better myself.
Thank you. I suppose we'll start off with the first question, and that is, what is the human microbiome and why is it important?
Yeah, so I guess it's only in recent decades really that people are realizing that it's like another organ in our body and as important as any other organ. Mm-hmm. So the microbiome tells us about what microbes are living in our body. Most of them are in our gut, but recently time and time again, people are finding them in different parts of our body on organs like the skin or in organs such as a tumor and other places as well. So microbiota is the word used for the living microbes in our body, and that's like bacteria, funguses, everything that's classed as a microbe. The microbiome then is the DNA that we analyze to learn about what those microbiota are and what they're doing. So it's important because people have realized through worldwide studies now at this stage in different diseases and healthy people that all living and dead things have a microbiome and that they impact everything else that's going on around them. So the human microbiome is a bit like an organ, and that when you've got all these billions of bacteria especially doing their daily activity inside our body, then they're producing things, they're using up things, our food is processed by them, our immune system is influenced by them. So basically they're an absolutely vital part of our day-to-day activity in our body.
As an art student, it's definitely not something I would have considered. Recently, I had a friend because I had like stomach problems, and they were like, "You should probably like think about like your gut and the bacteria there." And I was like, "That's a good idea, actually. Maybe I should." How did you actually get interested in this, in microbiome research?
Yeah, so I guess when I was an undergrad here in UCC, some time back, the word microbiome wasn't really used, but I did microbiology here, so I guess I learned about bacteria. After my life then in microbiology, I moved into cancer research in a hospital, and I guess I started to marry those two worlds, so the disease world, especially cancer, and then my original learnings in microbiology and bacteria, and then the world of microbiome started taking off around the world. Yeah. And especially here in UCC with the APC. So I kind of started to marry my worlds of bacteria knowledge in the context of cancer, and other people around the world, like for more than a century, had realized that there are certain tumors where bacteria can grow in them and do things to those tumors. So I guess we're looking at really very, very old findings. So over 100 years ago, a doctor called William Coley discovered that some cancer patients that he had with very big and severe tumors started to just disappear. But those patients also had bacterial infections. Mm-hmm. So he started to look, is there a link going on here? And he found that there was a link in certain types of bacteria. These would have been, you know, disease causing bacteria making these patients sick.
Yeah.
But it was okay because it was eliminating their tumor and curing them. So there was a link established, but not a huge amount of work done on the understanding of it until the microbiome field really took off. But, you know, over 100 years ago, there was already a realization that bacteria can grow on tumors and can actually fight those tumors and make them disappear. So even back then, when there was very, very little known about our immune system, which keeps our bodies healthy in terms of fighting defense against bugs and tumors, that there was a link there. So it really was the very first instance of this doctor developing these what are called Coley's toxins as a medicine. So he would take some bacteria, mush them up, and inject them into patients' tumors.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time those tumors would actually just disappear. So there wasn't a full understanding of it until more recently. But those bacteria were telling the immune system, come here and fight me. And while the immune cells were in the tumor, not only were they fighting the bacteria, they were also fighting the tumor and eliminating that as well. So it was the advent really of what nowadays is known as immune therapy for cancer and other diseases.
Wow. And I suppose, can you talk a little bit about your research lab at Cancer Research in UCC?
Yeah, so I'm very lucky and grateful to all the guys and girls in the lab who work very, very hard on the different aspects of the interactions between bacteria and cancer. I guess there's two or more broad streams of research going on in the lab. One would be the microbiome, a kind of regular microbiome research, for want of a better term, in conjunction with the APC as well, in terms of people look at what kind of patterns of bacteria are in cancer patients at any given time. And then, you know, people have the technology, you go and sequence the DNA of the microbiome. So that allows you to say, okay, here are the types of bacteria in this patient. In the gut, where people go and look at stool, or in the tumor itself, or in other parts of the body as well. And you go and see, okay, I'm going to map out this patient, see what bacteria are there, and then look at, are these having any effect on that patient's cancer? Are the bacteria potentially helping the tumor to grow? Are these parents doing worse? Or are the bacteria there actually slowing down the growth in some patients of the tumors? Or are they impacting on the treatment? So yeah. Nowadays there's a lot of immune treatment as well as chemotherapy for cancer. And people have now realized that depending on what bacteria are there, the immune treatments can work better with the presence of certain microbiome bacteria, or worse in the presence of other microbiome bacteria. So that's kind of one broad strand of work we have in our lab, just looking at, you know, maps, microbiome maps of cancer patients, and then seeing if we can use this knowledge for developing future cancer treatments. The other main type of work we do would kind of be more in the gene therapy side of things, in terms of using bacteria as new treatments. So for years we've been working in our lab. Again, we didn't discover it, but many decades ago people discovered that bacteria like to grow inside tumors.
Yeah.
So if we get some bacteria circulating inside in our body eliminates them normally, except for tumor tissue. It can't eliminate them. It just lacks the ability to eliminate the bacteria. So the bacteria like to set up home and they grow like wildfire inside there. What we do is that we genetically engineer these bacteria to produce something beneficial. So some sort of a cancer drug inside the tumor. And because these bacteria can only grow in the tumor, that drug won't be produced anywhere in the body except the tumor. And then you got this very localized effect of the anti-cancer molecule inside there. So there are two broad strands of work employing, you know, looking at what bacteria are there with the microbiome and then exploiting those bacteria in terms of therapy.
That's all so really, really interesting. Sorry, I'm just like, I'm looking at you with my mouth open because it's just so interesting that you, wow, that's so cool. I suppose, are there any specific cancers that are more strongly linked to changes in gut bacteria?
Yeah, people have been looking a kind of focused patient groups. So earlier on, it was kind of driven by early findings. So let's say people were looking anecdotally and saying that, look, I think with certain microbiome profiles, this treatment is working better or worse. So the treatment would have been immune therapy. And the main cancers that were being treated with immune therapy in the early days were cancers like melanoma.
Yeah.
So people were saying, okay, this is this patient has a different profile of bacteria and they're responding to the therapy. These other groups of patients have a different profile and they're not responding well to therapy. So people are looking at that, still don't have a full understanding of it.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, people have realized that actually there's an association with pretty much every type of cancer that people are looking at in terms of the bacteria. Mm-hmm. We still don't have a very good understanding of what's going on. So we're going beyond just looking at the patterns of what bacteria are there and moving towards what might they be doing. So what are these bacteria producing? What are they taking away? And having a look more at the function of the bacteria rather than just their presence. But I think as time goes on, it's now being accepted that actually we're now looking at the microbiome as a kind of a piece of the picture of all cancers.
Wow. Going on to what I was saying earlier about gut health and all these, you know, probiotic drinks you probably see around the place now. I mean, do they actually play a role in cancer prevention or recovery?
In that a healthy microbiome leads to a healthy person for sure. So overall, I mean, look, our grandparents and old wives' tales and everything, they had very little to back it up, but most of them were actually correct. Oh. So in terms of, you know, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
We kind of scientifically originally just started looking at that and going, okay, your diet is very important. But part of that picture is that your diet heavily influences your microbiome, and then your microbiome influences your health. So in terms of a microbiome, a healthy microbiome is one that what we'd call diverse. So you've got a wide range of bacterial types in there. Mm-hmm. An unhealthy microbiome doesn't have as wide a range, and it's kind of dominated by fewer types of bacteria. And that in general is an unhealthy microbiome and an unhealthy person. So the same can be true for cancer. There isn't a huge amount of knowledge and understanding of it yet, but for sure that the healthier the microbiome tends to be the better responses and outcomes that people can have with cancer. So yeah, in terms of, you know, probiotics, the jury's still out in a lot of cases, but for sure there are some probiotics where they've been clinically tested in specific settings.
Yeah.
And they do work. So for example, for many years now, it's been realized that if, let's say, especially children might suffer from a bad bacterial infection of their gut, like Clostridium difficile, that if you give those kids an improved microbiome, it eliminates that infection and disease, and suddenly the person is better. So probiotics can absolutely help in certain settings. In terms of, in general, the jury's still out on that. If somebody already has a microbiome, then perhaps the take of probiotics might not have much of an effect. But as we're learning more, there is certainly potential for probiotics as medicines in certain settings.
What I'm hearing a lot is there's a lot to learn. There's a lot going on in this field. And that's just so, I don't know, exciting. And I feel like I can feel, you carry that through your research, that kind of excitement. At least I can feel it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I suppose, can manipulating the microbiome improve how patients respond to treatments like chemotherapy and immunotherapy?
Yeah, that's kind of the immediate aim these days now is to, you know, first of all, go and map the patient. So typically if someone goes into hospital, there's a range of diagnostic tests done on people to see, you know, what their blood cells look like. Mm. And different range of diagnostic tests. More and more we see a future where the microbiome is automatically going to become an additional test, especially in cancer. And you see what the state of their microbiome is as well. So that might help in terms of diagnosis, perhaps. Certainly in terms of choice of treatment. So the future of cancer treatment these days, a lot of it, people talk about precision oncology, so that you got personalized medicine. So if you go and map out the patient with all these diagnostic tests, including their microbiome, you then say, okay, this drug here is less likely to work because of their map. This drug here is highly likely to work because of their map. So we're going to give the person this type of treatment.
Yeah.
So that's one example of where, you know, you got microbiome influencing medicine and the future of cancer treatment in precision oncology. Other than that, then it might be more, you know, intervening with bacteria. So can you go and manipulate the microbiome in some way? Their probiotics, although adding individual types of bacteria might be tricky because you've got so many different types of bacteria in there, then, you know, adding one by eating a particular probiotic is a tall ask. What is working more in certain settings, but is much more icky, is what's called FMT, so fecal matter transplant. And basically what it is that you identify somebody who has a healthy microbiome in a certain situation.
Yeah.
So, and basically what needs to do is to take that healthy microbiome,
yeah,
by way of stool, because that's how you kind of sample a person's healthy microbiome, and putting it into the person with the bad microbiome.
Okay.
And that is often, unfortunately, through eating it, but in a very prepared way. So it's put inside in a capsule, there's no taste or anything like that.
Yeah.
So often what's done is that maybe half of it would be inserted orally, let's say, and the other half might be inserted rectally. So you kind of take the two ends of the gut. If our gut starts at one end and comes out another end, then you can put in this fecal matter transplant both sides to give it the best chance of what's called colonizing. So that healthy microbiome just gets a foothold and lives inside in the unhealthy. And it does work. You actually transform an unhealthy microbiome into a healthy microbiome.
That's great. And it works.
It works.
Wow.
It works.
That is so cool. I suppose going off of that then, what are some of the most promising therapies or trials happening right now in the field?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in, let's say, both the strands of what I mentioned from my own lab earlier. So looking at the microbiome patterns as they're and influencing the microbiome patterns, and then in lots of different cancer types and other diseases, and then using bacteria as like drug delivery vehicles, that's working on there as well. A lot of the current focus is on influencing the immune system indirectly. Mm-hmm. So again, the immune system is in a way the be all and end all of our health and in disease. So for example, a cancer can only grow if the immune system allows it to grow. So the reason a cancer becomes so successful in its growth is because it adapts to hide from the immune system. So a lot of the work, be it the microbiome style work or the adding of bacteria as drug delivery vehicles, is to try and get it to educate the immune system to mm-hmm. the presence of the cancer and get the immune system to fight the cancer rather than just the actual microbiome itself directly. So there are various preclinical trials going on in research labs around the world and clinical trials going on between hospitals and universities and private companies. There have been quite a number of private companies set up on the basis of trying to, you know, utilize bacteria or microbiome patterns to eliminate cancer or certainly combine with existing treatments to improve their work.
I suppose people listening to this conversation, they might have a lot of questions about their own microbiome and their own gut health. I suppose, should the average person be doing anything today to support their microbiome, especially when it comes to cancer risk?
In general, it's probably better just to be holistic about it in terms of, you know, a healthy microbiome tends to be a healthy person. So in general, the healthier we are, we reduce our cancer risks. So, I mean, cancer is all about risk. If we live long enough, we're all going to develop some type of cancer. Mm. So it's all down to reducing your risk of developing cancer, and having a healthy microbiome is one piece of the puzzle in being a healthy person. So in terms of that, I mean, exercises influence our microbiome, our diet absolutely influences our microbiome, or, you know, all the regular things like don't smoke, don't drink too much, all the usual things that are well acknowledged through kind of common sense for being a healthy person, that often translates to having a healthy microbiome.
Ah, that's very important as well, to say that as well, actually, because I feel like not enough. I mean, I know myself, I'd be like, you know, I'd see that somewhere and I'd be like, ah, yeah, sure. And then I'd go off and go through a packet of Doritos or something.
Yeah.
It's really easy. But no, it's really important as well to be hearing this. I mean, I suppose where do you see the field heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, good question. So in recent times, the kind of microbiome has become what's called a hallmark of cancer. So there's a kind of an established framework of every time you study a cancer, you have to kind of tick a box to say what's happening here, 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 and here. So the microbiome has now been added to it. So more and more, it's going to become kind of par for the course in terms of it'll be on that checklist.
Okay.
So in future times, I would love to see around the world that the microbiome is automatically mapped for every patient.
Yeah.
Secondly, then, gene and cell therapy is now kind of mainstream. So I was first working in gene and cell therapy more than 20 years ago. And it was a very lonely field because there was no belief in it. And then you just have one success story. And suddenly that, floating tide rises all boats.
Yeah.
So rising tide, floating all boats. So Based on that, the more you have a trickle of success with different examples, the entire field is starting to rise in terms of gene and cell therapy approaches. So bacteria have a role to play in there in terms of a tumor specific delivery vehicle. Mm-hmm. Bacteria themselves are kind of more powerful than a lot of other, let's say, agents for medicine. So often agent for medicine might be just like wrapping a chemical drug in something and giving it to a person. Viruses are now used in medicine in terms of gene therapy, and they are just a simple piece of DNA with one or more genes on it, which get the cells and the body to produce something beneficial. Yeah. Bacteria are a level up again in terms of they have a huge number of genes. You can manipulate them very, very well to get them to make whatever you like, yeah, and also behave in any way you like. So, you can genetically engineer them to grow under certain conditions, to behave different ways under different conditions, to make something that, they can pump out proteins. There are very few other agents out there that you can place inside the body and get them to produce things. To get them to do something, or they can hand over, let's say, drugs over to cells in the body as well. So you've got this like factory inside in the body that you can manipulate to do whatever you like. And I do see that in the future as being something very, very powerful. Once the health regulators understand the safety and everybody gets a grasp to make sure that this is a safe medicine, yeah, of the future, then the power of these bacteria, which are specific to tumors and can deliver and pump out things all at once, just makes them, in a way, an enviable type of medicine.
And do you think we'll one day have personalized cancer treatments based on someone's microbiome?
For sure. No, I'm very, very confident that will absolutely help. It won't be for every patient, but certainly, yeah, there'll be certain types of patients that you can say, okay, you've got the perfect microbiome for this type of treatment. You will do very, very well with this. Or indeed, it might be a case of that, okay, first we're going to fix your microbiome and then we'll go and fix everything else. So for sure, it's going to be commonplace in years to come.
Thank you so much for answering all my questions. I know I have loads, but thank you so much. I suppose we'll go on to the final two questions now. What's one thing you wish more people understood about their microbiome and cancer?
Yeah, I guess a common sense approach, I think, is always important. Probably one could argue, it's difficult for us to know, but one could argue that centuries ago, people probably had a healthier microbiome in terms of being more diverse. Having said that, their diet probably wasn't as diverse as ours nowadays, but things were different. But, things were kind of more natural and probably the microbiome was a bit healthier.
Yeah.
But people did die young. We're doing very well today in terms of our lifespan, but they probably died of different things. So I think a kind of common sense approach to our lifestyle will help us to have a healthier microbiome. And the microbiome affects our health in many ways, our physical health and our mental health. And I think kind of taking note of that for ourselves, that we do need to look after our microbiome in the same way that we need to look after other organs in our body. I think that will help the whole world have a kind of a healthier approach and reduce risk to various diseases.
Do you think people not seeing their microbiome has to do with the kind of, I guess, ignoring of it?
Well, I suppose we don't know. It's quite new, the concept of actually thinking about it as an organ. Also, when I was in national school, there was no concept of that anywhere, of that being an organ that we need to look after. So it's an education piece, and hopefully it'll just become normal for people just to have a basic. Like we none of us need to become experts in it, as lay people, just to have a kind of a basic understanding that look, the healthier, the better I treat myself, the better my microbiome, then I'm a healthier person in general.
And if listeners want to learn more or get involved in research, where should they start?
Yeah, so I work in the Cancer Research at UCC Centre here in UCC. There's a website there. You can look up and feel free to make contact with via that website or myself. I'm on the UCC email list. And also APC Microbiome Ireland does a lot of work in generic you know, not specifically focused on any one disease type of microbiome research as well, and is a world leader. And I suppose the microbiome is involved in so many different types of cancers, and activity nowadays in the Cancer Research Center is involved in a broad range of different types of cancer activities. So on the cancer side, that's very well placed, because it's a partnership between clinicians and researchers and industry more and more over time as well, in terms of all the actors involved in, let's say, the patient journey. You know, in cancer, everything should start and end with the patient. So everything that we try to do with the cancer research at UCC Centre is focused on the patient, in terms of what do they need? Can we develop it for them? Can it go through the clinical trials that are necessary? Can the companies go and push it through to an actual medicine that finally goes back to the patient again? So yeah, we kind of work in this circle of making sure that everything that we develop is appropriate and needed by cancer patients.
Wow, focusing on the patient, that is, it's really reassuring for me to hear that anyway. Gosh. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, has an absolute pleasure.
A lovely, lovely, lovely conversation. And if people want to find out more about the work that you do, or APC microbiome, or cancer research here at UCC, where should they go?
So the cancer research at UCC, if you Google it, it'll show up, and it'll bring you to the website there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.